Welcome to Minnesota Music Makers, where we showcase local, national, and international artists.
This is Minnesota Music Makers. I'm Candace Breedlove, and I'm here with Mr. Ray Covington. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome. Are you from Minnesota?
You know, I am actually originally from Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, originally.
Originally.
Yeah, you know, being in a military family, you know, we moved quite a bit.
Okay.
And that's the cliche phrase there, but it's true, you know, by way of Detroit, Michigan as well. So prior to moving here at a very, very early age, you know, about 79, 80, that's when we moved here, you know. So, but originally from Virginia. Yeah, I miss that place. Yeah, I go back someday.
So how old were you when you made it to Minnesota?
Oh, you want to know my age?
Well, somewhat.
Well, see, I was 7 years old. We moved here. 8 years old, we moved here. Yeah, so I was a baby when I got to Minnesota. So it was some culture shock, too, getting used to calling a Coke a pop, you know.
Right. I think they call it soda.
It's always a soda. Everything's a soda.
Yeah, I don't.
You want orange soda.
That's one of my least favorite words. I don't know what it is about
soda?
I just don't like the word soda.
See, it took me a long time to get used to pop.
Pop.
Why do you call it pop? I don't know. You learn.
Yeah, I always used to, even if it was plastic, I used to always call bags sacks.
Oh, there you go.
From Oklahoma, I need a sack.
Right.
And I got here, people kind of took that as, you need a sack. A sack of what?
Right.
So, true. I mean, at what age did you start singing?
You know, I've actually been singing all my life. Okay. But I could say trying to be a professional, quote unquote, at it and do it for a living and as a profession. I can say I've been doing it for about 15 years now.
Oh, you really?
Know, yeah, I've been at it for a while, you know, in different configurations.
Well, that's really not that long in the music business, 15 years.
That can be a whole career.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, or it could just be a start, like with me.
Right. Now, you said a start. So, I mean, do you feel like you're well seasoned or you're really just finding your voice?
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, in the 15 years that I've been doing this, I think I've grown very comfortable, you know, behind the mic, on the stage, in front of people and, you know, and comfortable with my craft. But it's always a beginning for me because I'm always learning, you know.
Right.
And the biggest thing is that every time you think you have it all figured out, you have some, you know, a new way of doing things that you had no idea how it was going to happen. There's some 15-year-old kid singing circles around you right now and you didn't know, you know. So you're always learning, you know. So I could say every year is a brand new start, you know, for me.
Okay. You have a single out called Sensational.
Yep, that's right.
Which is awesome.
Thank you.
Is there a forthcoming album?
What I've decided to do this time around, you know, I've had three previous albums to this one, and actually four. Wow, how long have I been doing this again? But yeah, you know, I would like to eventually put a full album out, including this new song. But you know, the industry's changed quite a bit.
Sure.
You know, it comes down to singles really rule the world now, and the internet rules the world as far as music. So entire careers can be made or broken off of a single. You know? So what I really like to do, and I think the smart thing to do, is to get singles out, get them heard, and gain the interest and gain the support. And if we put a string enough singles together that they really enjoy, then guess what? Get an album coming out.
Sure. And, you know, with what is it? Facebook and YouTube. You know, I mean, it's the possibilities are really endless.
Absolutely.
Really endless. And, you know, it's like you said, I guess getting the right people to recognize you. So have you been recognized by any major producers?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Okay.
Actually, you know, I can say I've been very blessed to meet quite a few influential people, you know.
Like who?
Well, you know, I've gone overseas with Alexander O'Neill, you know, played the Apollo in London with him. Let me see, I had the pleasure of meeting acts like Keith Washington and Tony Terry.
Oh, I love Keith Washington.
And Jaheim and Casey and JoJo. Am I name dropping?
No, let me see. That's fine.
You know, Kurt Jones from Slave. you know, we're talking about SOS Band, Montel Jordan. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of H-Town. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many acts that I've met. Producers, wow, it's been really a ride. You're talking about Samaj Records, actually mm-hmm. based out of here in actually in St. Paul. Barron's Productions and Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. Mike Barron's one of the top producers in the nation. Victor Reynolds, actually, in my opinion, is one of the best songwriters and producers that we have. You know, the list goes on and on. There's so many people mm-hmm. I've worked with and had the pleasure of working with. And, you know, sometimes it's the journey that's actually more fulfilling than the destination because
right.
you never really know what the destination is.
Right.
It's all about the journey, you I know, agree. So...
Now, we mentioned Sensational. Tell me about the inspiration behind Sensational.
Sensational. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a state of mind. I think the inspiration behind it is Victor Reynolds and I, and Grammy Award winning Victor Reynolds and I, to name drop again. You know, we came together. He had this great beat and this hook. And he had wanted to do something with it. And yeah, he played it for me. And I think the first time I heard it, I said, yeah, that's good. I like it. But it didn't fit the style that I normally, you know, right. anyone that knows my music knows it's kind of like a mid-tempo stepper type of thing is what I've always done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, underneath, I've always wanted to do Michael Jackson stuff, you know.
What?
Yeah. I always wanted to do Usher and you know, Justin Timberlake and... You know, that was always my favorite music. I'm a balladeer mm-hmm. at my core, mm-hmm. but I'm always been a balladeer that loved to dance, you know, so,
right.
so right. I've always wanted a fast song and something up tempo. And, when I heard this beat, I was like, yeah, I like it. And, yeah. Finally, you know, after a month after hearing the track, I just got inspired one day. I actually went to visit my mother mm-hmm. and she has a computer at the end of her table here. And I was just sitting there and, she's watching TV online, and I started thinking about that beat, and I was like, huh, Sensational, because Sensational was already there. That mm-hmm. hook had already been written, you know. And I started thinking about the story, and literally it wrote itself in about 15 minutes,
wow.
the whole track. So I called him, and I said, Vic, I got the, you know, I think I have a song for this. He's like, well, when can you do it? I said, I can come over right now, because I was off that day, and I was like, I'll come over, you know. Went over to the studio, we recorded that song that day.
And it was, that's
from
it.
From start to finish, we had it completed within about 2 hours. And from there, it was a matter of just tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the work begins. You know,
right.
To actually lay the parts is nothing. It's the production work after the fun.
Yeah. All right. So, Sensational, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Sensational girl. Sensational. Girl, I've been thinking about the way that you be looking at me, looking at you. I've been thinking about it. And by the way, you should be well aware that ain't nobody catching my eye. Long as you've been around, girl. All this to say is if you ever think that I'll forget the side of the bread, I'll be putting my butter on. No need to give a single pump because forever, girl, is more than the word. Forget what you heard, girl. My homie, my lover, my friend. Let me straight to you.
Chillin', stand in front of this club. Black H3, come up rolling on dubs. Sexy long legs, crazy down to two pumps. You know how I do, I wanna see what's up. Everybody look at girl, you act like you don't see him. They're saying that you brother blind, I'm starting to believe him. Was that a smile? That's all I'm trying to do. You came in here solo, but this party is for two. And what's your name, what's your number? And what's the spell you got me under? I see you looking for a good time. And when it's over, press the rewind. You never know until you get it. And never know the feeling until you let yourself in it. Don't need to be confrontational. But damn, you're so sensational. Oh, you're looking kind of fresh, so beautiful, fine. Girl. It's making sensational, fine. Woman. Kind of fresh, so beautiful, fine. Girl. Girl. I swear, so I'll kiss my time. Girl. You're looking kind of fresh, so beautiful, fine. Girl. All I wanna do is make you mine. Kind of fresh, so beautiful. Baby, I swear I'll take my time. You're looking kind of fresh, so beautiful, girl. It's making me shine. Make you mine. Kind of fresh, so fine, girl. I swear I'll take my time. I will, girl. I'm making my time. Kind of fresh, so fine. Baby, I swear I'll take my time.
This is Minnesota Music Makers.
All right, now tell me this: what is your favorite song by, not yourself, okay, by someone else? What is your favorite song?
Wow. What's my favorite song?
Most favoritest in the whole wide world.
Let me think about this here for a second. Wow. Can we break it into categories? Because
okay.
I mean, looking, you know, like slow, well, who song,
is,
fast song.
Who is your favorite singer besides yourself?
Well, actually, I'm not my favorite singer.
What?
I'm not. No.
You got to be your own biggest fan, surely.
You know. Oh, I love my voice. However, but when I think, who would I like to listen to? Who could I listen to? Boy, you know, it's kind of a tie because, you know, I'm sure that the first thing that people who know me or follow me are going to say, "Oh yeah, it's Luther."
Right.
And you're right.
That's who I was thinking.
and you're not wrong, actually, but. You know, Luther Vandross, Brad McKnight, and Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have you covered him?
I want to. Oh. I haven't had that opportunity to do it. But I know that, you know, once again, for those who go to my shows and that type of thing, one thing that I'm kind of known for is being able to mimic some of my favorite singers,
sure,
you know. And but one I haven't done has been Nat King Cole.
Wow.
So that's one I would love to do. You know, I just have to have the right show for it. So
Christmas,
anybody has an idea,
a Christmas show.
Absolutely, a Christmas show.
Yeah,
would,
he has a perfect Christmas voice, kind of a Christmas air about him, yeah, in
absolutely,
my opinion.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. You know, what was interesting about him is that he was known more as a pianist,
oh, really,
than he was as a vocalist. Like, he was a better piano player than he was a vocalist, if you can imagine that.
No,
and what I loved about Nat King Cole was the presence of his voice. And that's, mm-hmm, what I'm more intrigued by, and what I'm more fascinated by are singers and how recognizable they are.
Right.
You can have 1,000 singers. He can do every riff in the book. And I'm not knocking that at all. Mm-hmm. However, I'm more impressed by hearing someone's tone and hearing whether or not they can hold my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, Brian McKnight has the best of both worlds. He can grab your presence and he can riff, you know, through the roof.
Yeah.
Luther Vandross is a storyteller, has the range and the ability to do whatever he wanted to with his voice, and chose just not to. You know, that's how good he was. He didn't have to, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I aspire to be like. That's what I want to be.
So have you given any thought to your favorite song? What's your favorite R&B song?
My favorite R&B song. Okay. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. You know, my favorite R&B song, you know, I think probably the greatest R&B writer, in my opinion, is Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
You know,
good
so
choice.
It kind of goes with him, although Babyface is not far behind, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But Stevie Wonder. So if I were going to choose a song, R&B song from him, boy, Golden Lady was a wonderful, but R&B song, danceable, wow, you're making this hard. There's so many. There's so, you know, I guess I'm a personality style that enjoys so much. It's really difficult for me to choose one because I've been inspired by so much.
Sure. Sure. I think my favorite Stevie Wonder song would be All I Do.
Mm. Which I do on my shows quite a bit.
Do you? Yes. I love that song.
I can say that song, I enjoy performing that song more so than any other song.
Yeah. It's something about it.
I love performing that song. So I think you answered it for me. There goes my favorite R&B song.
Now, what about rock music? Do you listen to rock?
Yeah. Actually, coming up, I listen to everything. I think that's why I love music so much, because I've never shut the door on one and listened to another. I like all genres of music. And but I listened to, you know, back in the day, I listened to Jay Giles Band. I listened to, I'm dating myself now. Listen to
who's that? No, I'm kidding.
Right, exactly. Metallica was another one.
Okay, you know. So you like the metal.
Well, I liked everything. You know, it was like just the, I think the emotion behind it.
Sure.
You know, and the stories behind it. You know, we're all telling the same story. We just have different ways of doing it. They scream it. We rap it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing, you know. So, but it's the same story if you break it down.
Now, your first album, what was the name of that?
It was self-titled Ray Covington.
Ray Covington. What was the hardest song on that album to do?
The hardest song to do on that album, I believe, may have been... You know, when you say hard in terms of actually performing it or just
writing it,
then I think it was the song. It was entitled When You Say Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because I think when you say goodbye, people ask me about this when they hear the song. And that is that is that it was a story about a man who had. Is basically watching the woman of his life leave his life.
Oh, okay.
And they have a child together, and she's finding happiness in another person's home, and you know, but don't look into my eyes when you say goodbye. You know, but I wrote, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Now she's supposed to be sad on this. You're supposed to be saying, "My goodness," and the pain. And she's like,
heartbreaking.
Right.
Sorry.
She's laughing. The sister's laughing at her brother's pain. You understand?
Okay. I have to compose myself.
But I think that the reason why it was difficult to do is because I didn't live that story.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it was I was very young when I wrote it. I must have been 23 maybe when I wrote it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like, you know. And you find happiness in this home. You didn't find a mine with our child and our, you know, you're leaving our house. I didn't own a house, you know.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know.
But you wrote those words?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. You know, but I felt that story, mm-hmm. and I felt the heartbreak for another person. I think maybe that's what conjoins us, you know, as far as music is. And expressing yourself is that you can you have all these experiences, like reading a book. It's like having these experiences, and I don't have to have lived it to feel it. And I can wear another person's shoes, you know.
You know who does that well?
Hmm.
Beyonce.
Oh, okay.
When she sings, you know, like songs like Irreplaceable.
Oh, absolutely.
And Me, Myself, and I talking about, you know, at the time when she did those songs, she wasn't even old enough to have lived that life,
right.
You know, with someone. But she could sing the heck out of those songs.
You know, I think that I remember there was a movie where they're talking about clairvoyance. You're talking about how when you look at life, you look at it through a certain, like a flashlight. Mm-hmm. And through the darkness, you kind of see your path in life. And there was a child in there who was able to talk to, you know, poltergeists and all that type of thing. He said, why is he able to do it? He said, much bigger flashlight. You know, and it's like, and what it makes me think about is that a singer like Beyonce or an artist who's able to experience through music these different paths in life.
Right.
She has a bigger flashlight, and she's able to receive energy from so many more places because she's open to it. you know, okay. so she can express herself through song and say, how does she know anything about that type
right.
of life?
Right.
The reason why is because she's made herself so open that she's receptive to everything and she may not even know it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and that's what I'd like to think of myself as being as well. You know, we should all aspire to be able to feel each other's pain and our joys and,
right.
you know, and be able exactly. to support. And, you know, I think that's what love actually is.
Well, you know, they say that's one of the things you need to write, you mm-hmm. know, even if you're writing fiction, it has to be kind of based in reality.
Right.
You know, it can't be good fiction without reality in
right.
there.
Right.
So, you know, you have to kind of feel something draw from somewhere, you know, someone you know or something you heard about or maybe even another song you heard, in my opinion. So with that being said, where do you draw from? Do you usually draw from a happy place, a sad place? Where do you find yourself going the most?
Well, I think inspiration finds me more than I find mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my second album was called Life Stories. And when I think about it, I think that Life Stories, it should have been, all my albums should be Life Stories 1, 2, 3, however many albums
okay.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always write about, at this point, I write about what's happening around me and what's happening in my life and how I'm feeling about it. So it's interesting that I'm inspired by everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as I go through this journey, you know, there are people who come into my life and circumstances that happen, that type of thing. And inspiration finds me. That's like what the song Sensational, it wrote itself in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It didn't
yeah.
take me going through a certain scenario to happen. In that moment, I heard the song. And in that moment, I thought about this woman and what she was wearing, what she was driving and how
right.
I responded to her and what I felt. And it just came. It was there. There are times like I have a song called Rich Man.
Rich Man.
Yeah. Rich Man. That was off of my second album. That was off of Life Stories as well. And that's one of my favorite songs that I've written.
Okay.
And that song wrote itself. As well. I mean, it didn't take any effort. I think that's when it's the most fun.
Yeah.
It didn't take any effort to write the song. I don't remember writing the words. I just remember having a finished and completed song.
Wow. And it's Rich Man.
Yeah, Rich Man. Yeah.
Okay. Now, excuse me, but I cannot recall the song.
Okay.
Maybe you should sing a little bit of it.
There you go. I wish I brought my guitar.
Oh, that's right. You do play, don't you?
Yep, I should have actually.
Oh, man. That would have been a treat. Well, so sing a little bit of it and
sure.
And we'll play it as well.
Oh, okay, great. let me see, where do we start from? If I had a nickel for every thought I had of you and I together, hand, if I had a dime. But every time I see the image of your beauty as you look at me, I would have a good life in my hands. I'd be a rich man. You know, something like that.
Something like that. All right, Rich Man.
If I had a nickel for every thought I had. No amount of money's worth you out my life.
if I could stand, I'd be a rich man again.
Awesome. I like Rich Man. Yeah. Gonna have to play that over and over again like I do with all my new favorite songs.
Check out Life Stories. That's yeah. probably some of my happiest work, and some of my best work was that album, because a lot of my favorite songs are off of that one, you know. Let's Just Ride, one of my favorite songs ever, was off of Life Stories. But Let's Just Ride, just to kind of set the stage for it, it's basically a Saturday afternoon and what I call the golden time of the afternoon. When the sun is just going down.
Oh, the
still
golden time
out.
Of the afternoon.
Hey, it
I'm
is.
Gonna go, you're like, I feel like you're telling me a bedtime story and I'm going to fall asleep.
Wait a minute. Is
but
that a nice
ahead.
Way of saying it's boring?
No. It's a nice way of saying I'm sleepy.
But, you know, just to kind of, like I said, to set the stage, this is like the perfect date. You know, this is the late afternoon on a Saturday. This is having the windows down and the top down, the music on, and going wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that song what is and what it was to me when I wrote it, you know. So, yeah, I love it.
Ride. Let's just ride. So, ladies and gentlemen, ride. Or is it let's ride?
Let's just ride.
Let's just ride.
Let's just ride. We don't have to hide. So let's ride the night.
Discussing Ride.
Yes.
We were discussing Ride, and you said you under-promoted it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, blame it on being...
lazy? No, I'm kidding.
Lazy. And, no, you're absolutely right. You know, blame it on being an artist and not having your business hat on.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, I can say for myself, I'll be the first one to admit, the very first one to admit, that I've been an artist my whole career.
Mm.
And I think that I really dedicate too much of my time to being an artist only, and it's like a little later in the game than I should have, but mm-hmm. Better late than never. I've stepped up and started taking control of my business,
right?
You know, so now that I've done that, I start to recognize things I didn't do, and I say, "Oh, what was I thinking, or mm-hmm. what wasn't I thinking?" And
so, was it the summertime when you wrote the song?
It was actually,
it was.
And it was
okay.
Also another song that wrote itself because it. Just it came together. Actually, I had a lot of Michael Jackson kind of was a big inspiration for the song as well.
Really?
Because there's a section where it says, "We can just ride, take a time. Can you hear me? Long as you're here by my side, can you see me?" All that, and it's like in those
yeah.
feelings and how those words were, you know, the inflection and that type of thing is really inspired by Michael. You know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll hear it when you, you know.
Do you know who's doing a great Michael Jackson these days?
Hmm.
Lloyd.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yep, you're right.
I mean,
I can hear that.
That song, it's, what is it? Dedication to My Ex-Girlfriend?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
sounds, to me, he sounds just like Michael Jackson
yeah,
on that song.
Yeah. Oh, you can hear the inspiration. I mean, it's like, but who hasn't he inspired? You know?
I can't think of anyone.
Right. It's just like
anyone.
Nas talking about, you know, name a rapper I haven't influenced.
Hmm.
You know, he said that in his song. And Michael Jackson, the same way. Name a singer, you know, under the age of 40 that's
right.
not inspired by something that Michael brought to the table, whether it was his style, look at his face.
I know we're not going to have a Michael Jackson love fest, but I will say this. He's one of those performers who can sing
mm-hmm.
and dance mm-hmm. at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's, to me, it's kind of hard to come by. You know, I mentioned Beyonce earlier. She's
Absolutely.
Pretty good. She's pretty good at it. But he was one of those people, just that natural ability to, like, he had extra breath.
It's
stored
hard to come
somewhere.
By. I mean, we're talking about, you know, someone who's cardiovascularly fit.
Yeah.
You know one of the new artists, to kind of give a shout out to them, is Lady Gaga.
Right.
Has that ability
mm-hmm.
to be able to sing and literally jump across the stage and run and dance and, you know, that type of thing. And you either, love her or you don't love her. I'll say it that way. But you have to respect the fact that you have somebody who can do as much as she's able to do and breathe.
Never ceases to amaze me when I see people do that. Now, let me ask you this. Do you fancy yourself a performer or just a singer? I mean, not not as far as, you know, performing, moving around, but, you know.
Sure.
Can you feel yourself capturing audience with your movements?
Oh, absolutely. I love to move on stage, and, you know, and I'm a big guy, so people don't look for it from me. But when I'm on stage, I like to interact with my crowd. You know, I consider myself a, you know, at my core, I consider myself an artist first, because I like to do everything that I can. And also, I consider myself a singer second. And I'm an entertainer. So those three things are in play all the time. But I know that those people who truly love my music or love me as an artist, they love how they feel about what I'm doing first. Then they love my ability to be able to sing. And then they're happy with the fact that I'm able to entertain them. Or at least I think that's what it is.
You know? Yeah. Do you have fans? Like crazy? Do you have any stalker fans?
You know, I haven't run into the stalker fans yet. Borderline. There have been some people who have been borderline. You know, I think the biggest thing that's been interesting for me is that I've gotten more younger fans that I wasn't aware of. And I'm actually really flattered by that, by the way. You know, I there was a function that I was doing downtown Minneapolis over the summer, and there was a group of maybe 15 or 16 year old girls who knew who I was.
Oh, wow.
They asked for autographs. I'm signing autographs. I'm like, how do you know who I am? You know, what's your mama's name? Do I know your mom? You know, and it's like, I'm not sure. And I was so taken aback and flattered by it. And the Facebook, ads that I get on there are coming a lot from a lot of younger people. And I'm just shocked by it. You know, and I'm thinking maybe it's catching on. Maybe they like Sensational. Maybe, they heard something, you know. It's been unbelievable, but no stalkers yet, though. I'm kind of happy to
say good
that.
For you.
Yeah,
I mean, because they are no fun. Not to say that I've had any. I think that I've stalked a few people myself, but I don't.
But
think
usually the stalking's fun for the stalker.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Are we gonna have to worry about you again?
No. I'm past saying. That now. I've grown. I've grown inside. I'm a better person.
I do not even know I'm stalking.
Right. So anyway, I want to say thank you so much.
Oh, thank you
for sitting down with me and blessing. That's what they say these days. Let me bless you with my presence. So, you know, thank you for coming in and blessing the Twin Cities with your voice. And thank you for being in Minnesota.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is my home. I love it here.
Minnesota Music Makers is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.